Are we going to sing the Team Rocket song again?
Yeah, see, that was comedy gold earlier, and we lost that. I'm so sad.
We'll do it again. It'll be fine.
Okay, fine. Go ahead.
To protect the world from devastation.
To unite all peoples within our nation.
To denounce the evils of truth and love.
To extend our reach to the stars above.
Jesse, see, I don't want to be the girl. Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for March 19th, 2010. This is Mike Minotti. What's wrong?
Oh, you cut out, but I thought you forgot the date.
No, I just cut out. I was about to say. I was like, I'm doing good. What'd I do? I went through my head. Did I get the year wrong? No. Did I get the month wrong? I don't think so. All right. Let's see. All right.
We're still good. Say who we are.
No. Yeah, right. We're still good. No. You have low quality standards, my friend.
Oh, it's real. I like the real.
You like the real because it's less work for you. We're doing it again. Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for March 19th, 2010. This is Mike Minotti.
I'm AJ.
last time you jumped in and introduced yourself, I thought you would
Awkward pause. This time I deliberately didn't because you yelled at me before.
That's right. And we're also joined by our good friend Pete Davidson.
Hello.
The newest news editor at combo.com.
That's correct.
Oh, I didn't know that. He was talking to me about that. I'm like, what's that? That's interesting. How come I don't know about this?
I posted it all over Twitter the other day, so you're clearly not paying attention.
Maybe it was when I was still asleep. I kind of sleep in pretty.
Yeah, you're a bad friend.
Shut up, Pete.
I'm a good friend.
Congratulations, Pete.
Yeah.
Good job. All right, listen.
So we should mention that this is our second attempt at recording this podcast. My computer ate this morning's version, but it was without Pete, so it's all the better now.
Yeah, that doesn't make me happy. So,
Mike and I are just going to try to recreate some of the brilliant conversations we had earlier today.
Yeah, it's riveting stuff, too. We would have probably won one of those podcast awards for it.
I know, damn it.
What?
You still have your half.
Yeah, I should just put that on. I should just take that and try to redo your part myself with my version of the AJ Minotti voice. Yeah, I'm AJ Minotti.
Great.
Now, first thing for the news is the least important thing that's the most uninteresting.
That's okay.
All right. Yeah. Why don't you tell the people what we're going to be doing today?
I felt like I had something else I wanted to say first before I actually talked about video games. I can't imagine what it would be. Oh, congratulations, Pete. Did I already say that?
Yeah. Yes, you did.
Did I already say the date?
Yes, you did.
Keep going.
Did I introduce you to? Okay.
Yes.
All right. Here's the show. We're going to start off with the news. Is there any new news, at least, since 5 hours
really.
Ago? No. All right. So the news. Now we're going to do the quiz. This will be for Pete now, since AJ already did the quiz once.
Yeah.
He got a 3. So, yeah, in case you're wondering. Then we got Let's Go Topical. Again. Then we'll do the Or We Can Game, which we didn't get to last time. So that'll be fascinating for us.
Yeah, that'll be the new stuff.
Well, and then we'll close out the show. Yeah. The releases. I like how I lost interest there.
Oh, that's good.
I like how I just started mumbling. I'm a great radio personality. All right, what? Get me to the news. I had my Pokewalker still on my belt buckle.
Oh, you actually wear it on your belt?
Yeah, I wear it on. Well, not really on my belt, but I put it
in. Put that shit in your pocket.
Oh, shut up. Guess,
all right,
you can guess how many steps I've taken today.
6,000.
Why are you aiming so high? Make me feel bad.
Oh, I don't know. I thought you went for a walk in the woods again.
I did went for a walk.
Oh, okay.
It was a long one, too.
I got 5,000 steps just in my day of doing my thing
yesterday. I don't believe you.
I did.
I'm not even saying how many steps I took now.
Did all you see that Penny Arcade cartoon of it? Where he describes it to his kid. That's great.
Anywho, let's go to news. First, Tiger Woods, PGA Tour 2011, they showed it using the PlayStation Move, but they said it will not use Natal. Which is curious when the one of the people working the game said, we think Natal is a great fit for Tiger Woods, but we won't be supporting it this year. I don't know. I just thought that was strange.
Pete, say something. I already talked about this earlier.
Yes, I did.
He didn't care then, so.
Yeah, that's true.
That is
it's hard for me to be apathetic about something twice. Well, look, obviously, it seems weird because we would have thought that Natal development was ahead of Move development just because it seemed further along when they showed it at E3. I don't know.
Yeah, like they got the dev kits in everybody's hands right away and everything.
Maybe it's lack of buttons problem.
I guess.
I still have this nagging suspicion that it doesn't work and they're freaking out. Like, shit, this doesn't work
at all. What have we done?
This thing is terrible, guys.
Are you just imagining everything being like that sort of spastic avatar demonstration they did at the first launch of it?
Right, like, guys, like, at least once every minute, the thing just freaks out. This is not usable.
You want to see the bottom of an avatar's shoe? Well, bam!
Bam! Guys, we're releasing this in November. This technology is terrible.
Yeah, it's great for simulating people with Parkinson's disease, but nothing more than that at the moment.
Man, I tell you what, we better have Milo on launch day. I need to talk about Milo, about my day and shit. What's next?
Okay, so first of all, we have BioShock 2 DLC already on the disc.
Outrage!
I know, right?
Whatever.
Again, he really cared about this morning.
I know.
I can imagine.
So basically, everyone looked at the file size for the new BioShock 2 DLC that came out, and it's tiny. And not only did everyone suspect it's already on the disc, but 2K just out and out confirmed it.
Really?
And here's how they tried to defend it. The way our engine and game structure works is that people need to have the exact same content for people to play together. One of the challenges with post-launch content for multiplayer is that it can split the player base, and we want to avoid that whenever possible. For this content, creating the DLC package the way we did allowed us not to split the player base, so whether you purchase the new content or not, you can still play with your friends. But see, you didn't create a DLC package. You made this content on a disc, like, months ago. Turn off your Pokewalker!
Wait, I found an Onyx! I gotta try to capture it.
Lord, go catch your damn Onyx while I talk about this.
No, I mean what he's talking about there is the kind of model that Burnout Paradise did, where you can download the patch that's got Big Surf Island in it, but not necessarily play it if you haven't bought
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's not, that. If that's such an issue for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could have sworn, we talked about this earlier, I could have sworn like a year or two ago Microsoft released some like DLC guidelines, and I'm pretty sure they said you're not allowed to have unlocks as DLC.
I don't remember that, by the way. I didn't remember it then.
I need to look that up.
We should have researched that between the 8 hours
or
so.
I was at work since
I think they must have changed the rules for that at some point, because I'm going to use an embarrassing example for this, but Dead or Alive Extreme 2. They patched that so you could unlock everything in the game, which is the only point to play the game is to unlock stuff. But you could spend the same amount of money that you would have spent on the game if you bought it full price, which I'm sure no one did because I spent £3 on it. But you could spend the same amount that you would have spent on the game full price unlocking everything with Microsoft points instead of actually playing the game.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I just, you know, like the BioShock doctors earlier this week talked about how, like, day one DLC for them, because there is a 12-week period from when they hand off, like, the final version of the game to when it goes to be copied and replicated and shipped and everything. And it's during that 12 weeks that they make things like Zaid and Mass Effect 2. If it's already on the disc, that means, like, it was part of, you know, the regular development process. So why are you charging for it? Especially this thing. I mean, it's like two new plasmids, some character models, and like, there's not much to it. It's only $5, I guess, but still.
At least it's not $15.
Like hey. The Modern Warfare 2 map.
Wow, it's almost
out.
Like I knew that was Same. Next.
I know, wow. Yeah, Activision decided that they're going to continue to be greedy bastards.
Man, those guys...
$15.
Man, Infinity Ward sucks. I hope that they get fired.
It's not Infinity Ward, it's Activision.
It's a joke.
Okay, good. Oh, I get it.
Ha ha ha, they are fired. Lols.
Yeah, well, I meant they meant more people. Anyway, $15 gets you 5 maps.
Must be fired.
Two of which are remakes of Call of Duty 4 maps, so that is what you get for a quarter of the price of the full game.
Yeah, I wouldn't buy that.
Yeah, I'm not. That's ludicrous.
I don't... I mean, I haven't played much... I don't know. You don't play that much Call of Duty online, do you, AJ?
I really don't.
Chris plays a lot.
Oh, yeah. He, and, you know, it's people like him who are going to be stupid about it and buy this. And
I've traded my copy in now as well. And for the other thing, Modern Warfare 2, certainly here anyway, was more expensive than most Xbox games as well.
Hey,
Chris. What they did in the States was the...
wait a second.
Go ahead.
Chris, are you going to buy that map pack for Call of Duty? Why are you getting it for free? Okay. Did you all hear that?
Yeah.
No. Yes, no. Basically, something about Monster Energy Drink. I don't know. He's getting it for free. He claims he wouldn't buy it otherwise, but I don't believe him.
I don't believe him either.
We don't believe you! Liar!
God. What was I about to say? Oh, yeah. Your point, Pete. They did do in America, the PC version was $10 more than the usual $50 price point for PC games, so they jacked that up.
You could really call that jacking it up.
Well, $10. I don't know.
$10.
Some people, that's
See, I never understood why PC games were less expensive anyways.
Well, part of it was there's no license to pay for the console.
Oh.
You know, everything was $50, and the consoles went up, PC stayed.
Right.
Yeah. Let's next. Let's continue the bad news streak. Command & Conquer 4 is... Well, they don't call it DRM. They, in fact, said, good news, Command & Conquer 4 doesn't have DRM. They then proceeded to explain a procedure that sounds like what Ubisoft did, only worse, if you could believe it.
My God.
If you're playing Command & Conquer 4 and your internet connection goes away for any reason, it kicks you off the server. You can continue playing, actually, but you can't save your game anymore. And if you didn't save before this, you're screwed.
Nice.
Then when you're not, and then not only that, when your internet connection does come back, then it kicks you out to the menu.
What the fuck?
I know, that's the most asinine thing I've ever heard. At least, like Ubi's, they patch it so that when your connection comes back, you get to just pick up where you left off. Like, I just don't understand. Especially, like, Command & Conquer is a kind of game where I could see someone playing that on their laptop.
Yeah.
Just somewhere. You know, Assassin's Creed 2, whatever.
I don't understand. How are people getting this wrong? Because MMOs have been doing this for fucking years. And, like, if you get kicked off an MMO, you can pick right back up where you left off because it will sort of save what you've done on the servers and everything. So how are people getting this wrong in single-player games? Which, I don't know.
Well, because you get the sense it's not the will of the developer that's doing this. The publishers are the ones putting this on. These games aren't designed with this system in mind.
Mm.
I mean, that's the only explanation I could come up with. The way just checkpoints are laid out and the way data is saved, they just can't do it on the fly like that because the game's not being designed for that kind of saving system.
But, I mean, in Command & Conquer 4, if it's not allowing you to save if you're not connected to the internet, I mean, is it saving it online, or is it just not letting you save?
It must be. I'm not really sure. Again, I don't really know or care that much about Command & Conquer 4, I have to say. But yeah.
Supposedly not very good.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's the thing we said earlier today, too, is, like, this game's already going to have a limited market appeal as it is. You don't need to piss off the people who are going to buy it.
Right.
I mean, it's one thing when it is like Assassin's Creed 2 and you can say, well, I'm just going to get the 360 version and not bother with it. This is a PC-only game. This is the only way to buy it and play it.
Mm.
It's weird, too, because just this week, too, EA removed the Securom DRM from Bad Company 2 on PC for the Steam version. So, and it was like, oh, good, yeah, EA, they're backing off of DRM, and then they pull this shit.
I don't know. If it's as terrible as you're saying it is, I can't imagine it staying like that. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see.
Maybe I'm
hopefully
naive.
They do take it out. Yeah. Okay, good news now. So first we have DS2 rumors coming out of GDC. The rumored new device will have two larger, high-resolution screens that are, like, the gap between them is really minimal, so that they can practically function as one big screen. Similar power to the GameCube, which means similar power to the Wii, and it'll have, like, an accelerometer built into the device.
I like this. I'm ready for the next DS. I mean, the original DS came out, what, in 2004?
Yep.
Yeah, a long time ago. I'm ready for DS2. Launch of Pokemons with it. I really like the Pokemons.
We just got a new Pokemon. You think there's going to be one to launch with this thing, supposedly,
a new
Christmas?
Pokemon? Yeah, that's what people are saying, is that a new Pokemon's coming out soon. They already showed off one of the new Pokemon for the next year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, it is coming. Ooh. Fire Red and Leaf Green came out not much, you know, just a little bit before Pearl and Diamond, really.
Really? Oh, I didn't realize
that. Well, if you think about it, we're actually due for one. It's just it doesn't seem like it because Pokemon has always been one per portable system. Mm-hmm. It's kind of weird how it's worked out like that, but...
Mm. I really haven't kept up with Pokemon since the original Gold and Silver, actually. I don't think.
Well, that's because you suck.
Yes, I clearly suck. I suck.
Let's see. Then we have the Batman Game of the Year edition, which was previously only announced for Europe, is now coming to America.
It's in fabulous 3D, right?
Yes.
Did you know that the 3D works with colors? Somebody told me about it earlier.
Yeah, it's supposed to be pretty good.
They put it more eloquently than company. That, but with colors.
This is
so much better than the first time we did this.
Yeah, clearly. But for those who don't know, the Game of the Year edition is going to include a couple new challenge maps, and I think it's just the new challenge maps will be presented in this particular kind of 3D that uses, like, the cellophane-colored glasses kind of deal, but it's the color tinting on it is such that it really doesn't disturb the colors.
Is the 360 version of it going to have the Joker stuff finally?
I don't think so. It didn't explicitly say that, so I'm not certain.
I asked you that earlier.
I know. Good job. Way to get that information across.
I just went in case anybody else was curious like I was earlier today. Then I could still get an I don't know from you.
Well, I didn't say. I don't know. What do you want me to do? Call me?
I don't even realize why I asked it again. I forgot that you didn't know. I thought that was really important. We need to make sure we got that again.
Yeah, well, it's pertinent information. Well done.
Yeah.
Then we have the announcement of the Spirited Green PSP bundle for Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker. You get a green PSP, the game, memory stick, the usual accoutrement for $200.
You know what's funny about this? It's not the PSP Go in the bundle.
I know, right?
Hey, that is funny.
Well, PSP Go sucks.
Yes.
No one bought that.
No.
No one wants.
From like executives at Sony who are like, "Man, I don't want that piece of shit."
They're like, "But where do I put my game?" And they're like,
But seriously, I mean, again,
you wanted it. You wanted a PSP Go. You thought it was Until that's the future.
The dumbest fucking thing ever.
You thought it was the future. We don't need games anymore. We're just gonna buy everything online. Oh, wait, terrible. Yeah.
It's a good idea.
It's not a good idea.
Oh, shut up.
It's not a good
idea. I mean, how telling is it, though, that a new bundle for what's going to be a system seller caliber game is running on older hardware?
Yeah, well, they've already backed off the whole PSP Go is like the new one. It's just the alternative that no one will buy.
Remember there was going to be that rumored relaunch of it? That never happened.
No.
Yeah. I think one launch was enough for that thing.
It's just going to be quietly swept under the carpet.
Yeah.
As an alternative lifestyle.
Makes it sound weird like that, alternative lifestyle. So it's for the
There's
gays?
Anything wrong with that?
So it's for the gays.
Thanks for coming right out.
I know we were hinting at it, but I just wanted to make sure we were all there. I got a new segment.
So wait. Is it going to be rebranded the PSP Gay then?
OMG, Lilac PSP.
Oh god, let's move on.
No, new segment right now.
What?
It's time for my funniest tweet of the week.
Oh, what's your funniest tweet of the week?
We're talking about Two Worlds with Nintendo Theory. We were talking about reviewing Two Worlds, and I said I'd have given that game a 2, one for each world.
I should have said that. Terrible.
I'm glad you amuse yourself so much. Good lord.
That was funny, admit it. Get it?
Fine.
One for each world. Because there's two of them.
You're a strange person, Michael.
I'm endearing. I'm an endearing geek.
You are an endearing geek.
I'm such a geek, I'm endearing. Said Rock Guard's friend. What the heck? What's next? What's the next news item?
All right, so let's go over to some God of War 3 talk with the game director Stig Asmussen. I think that's how you say it. He said in an interview with MTV that they are done with Greek mythology, which contradicts an earlier interview with product development head John Haidt of Santa Monica Studios, who said that God of War is inseparable from Greek mythology.
I feel bad for these guys. They have to work in Santa Monica. That place sucks.
You hate Santa Monica.
Dude, that place is dirty. It was gross.
Anyway, I think it's a good idea because I don't know if this is the end of God of War 3, but I'm assuming that it ends with you killing Zeus, which thus means...
I'm assuming he kills a lot of gods and possibly himself.
Yeah, so I don't know how you'd make another one in Greek mythology because there's no mythology left. But,
you've killed it all.
Yes. But, I think like a kind of God of War relaunch or whatever that's set in, like, Norse mythology, and you're going after Odin or something. Very cool.
Well, they're already...
Maybe they're doing space.
Oh, ooh. Space God of War. God of Space War. God of Star Wars. Oh, man. But no, there's already... Apparently, if you get the Platinum Trophy for the game, you get a URL to some teaser site for something. No one knows what it is yet, but there will be more God of Wars. Trust me.
Oh, yeah.
At least one more of Kratos in Greek mythology, no matter what they say. Prequel, whatever.
And let's see. The last bit I got is some leaked screenshots that seem to be all but confirmed that the 360 is getting USB storage support, which means you can put an up to 16 gigabyte memory stick into your USB port, format it to the 360 format. Half a gig gets taken up for system files, and then the rest is basically it operates like a portable hard drive would. You could install games to it, DLC, demos, whatever you want.
All right, that's still incredibly boring.
It's a cool feature.
You also forgot about Kingdom Hearts Birth by Sleep again.
Did I say I'm done?
Yeah, you did. You said one last thing.
Well, I'm not reading the list I had before, but I remembered.
Did you write one last thing out for you?
No, I'm just at the bottom of the
I like to I think you write out all your lines. Like,
yeah.
And our next piece of...
I'm reading off a teleprompter right now. It even has this conversation written on it.
Yeah, you think this all sounds organic. Man, are they wrong?
I'm just a really good actor.
Well, let me know that's not true.
Oh, you know, no, there's no Kingdom Hearts news. Let's move on.
No, Kingdom Hearts Birth by Sleep is coming out in summer.
You bring it on yourself, Mike. You ready?
No. Wait. Pete has something he wants to say.
Yes. I have sort of... Well, not exactly breaking a short while ago news, but... Yes, that is what I mean. Breaking a short while ago news of the video game.
I think that's breaking news.
That is breaking news, isn't it? All right,
yes.
Shut up. Yes.
No.
Anyway, BAFTAs.
Okay, go.
I have the BAFTA results here, if you're interested.
I want to hear them.
Go for it.
Good. All right.
What's a BAFTA?
BAFTA. It's the British Academy Video Games Awards.
That's
sponsored
right.
By game. Yes.
Wait a second. Wait a second. Video games doesn't begin with a V? Or... I mean, or with an F?
British Association of Film and Television Awards, but
they
do some video game awards as well. And
all right,
just
let's hear
them. So, right, best action game was Uncharted 2.
Okay.
You'll be pleased to hear it. Beat Assassin's Creed 2, Arkham Asylum, Modern Warfare, Infamous, and Left 4 Dead 2.
Aren't those just all of the Game of the Year candidates?
Yeah, pretty much. Right. Artistic achievement was Flower beating.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay. Beating Assassin's Creed 2, Batman, Modern Warfare 2, Street Fighter 4, and Uncharted 2. Okay. Family and social game. Best one was Wii Sports Resort, beating Beatles Rock Band, Buzz Quiz World, iPet, Guitar Hero 5, and Super Mario Bros. Wii.
Okay, I don't like that one.
Hmm. What would you have for that one, then?
I might
have done Beatles Rock Band.
Beatles or Mario, not Wii Sports Resort.
Hmm.
It's not even that much of a multiplayer game, really, except for, like, you know, tennis crap that we always do. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah. Best game went to Batman.
What?
Yeah.
How is... Okay, question. How is Uncharted 2 the better action game, but not the better game?
Well, with the nominees are... Well, there's a couple of strange ones in there. The nominees were... There was Batman, Assassin's Creed 2, Modern Warfare 2, FIFA 10. I don't know what the hell that was doing in there. Left 4 Dead 2 and Uncharted 2.
You guys and your soccer, God.
Yeah,
FIFA.
We're weird.
Jesus. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about football.
Football.
Anyway,
right.
Yeah. Best gameplay was Batman, again.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
They think that highly of Batman.
Yeah, again, beating Assassin's Creed 2, Modern Warfare 2, Mario Bros. Wii, Pixel Junk Shooter, and Uncharted 2. Best handheld game was Little Big Planet. Beating Gran Turismo,
really?
Loco Roco, Midnight Carnival, Mario & Luigi, Bowser Inside Story, Professor Layton, and Scribblenauts.
Wait a second, what about... No, Henry Hatsworth, that was last year, right? Or was it the year before?
Yeah.
That was last year.
No,
I liked Henry Hatsworth. Liked Henry Hatsworth.
Yes. Best multiplayer game, Left 4 Dead 2, beating Battlefield 1943, Beatles Rock Band, Modern Warfare 2, Halo 3 ODST, and Uncharted 2.
Has anyone here played Left 4 Dead 2?
No. I have played a couple of games with Ceranix. It's good fun.
Is it much... How is it?
More, it's really good. Yeah, it's good. And it has some more tracks by Jonathan Coulton in it as well.
Oh,
it has
cool.
His zombie song in there on one of the
right.
Jukeboxes, which made me laugh.
All
it's good.
All you want to do is eat your... Yeah, that's cool.
That's the one. Best original score went to Uncharted 2.
Yay, I was listening to that today.
Yes, it's good. Again, beating Assassin's Creed 2. I'm spotting a pattern here. Batman, Modern Warfare 2, Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, and Pixel Junk Shooter.
Interesting.
Best sports game was FIFA 10, beating Colin McRae Dirt 2, Football Manager 2010, Forza 3, Wii Fit Plus, and Wii Sports Resort.
No MLB 09 to show, man.
No,
you guys hate baseball.
I don't think it's come out here because 09...
That might be. That might be. You guys may not get baseball.
Yeah. I haven't seen a baseball game here for ages. Best story.
How many more of these are there?
There are five more. Best story went to Uncharted 2.
Let's skip the nominees. Tell me the winners.
Yeah. Best story was Uncharted 2. Best strategy game was Empire Total War. Best use of audio was Uncharted 2. Best use of online was FIFA 10. And the Game Award, whatever the hell that is Modern Warfare 2.
What award?
The Game
the
Award.
The best... is not the best game, just the game award.
Just the game award.
And the game is...
Wait, a gamer who sponsor it. They're EB, basically.
Okay. Was that their We Made the Most Money award?
The game that made us a fuck ton of money
GameStop
award.
Yeah, I bet GameStop wants to give Modern Warfare 2 all sorts of awards.
Yeah.
Well, I guess somebody has to give Batman Game of the Year for it to have a Game of the Year edition, huh?
Yeah. And
yeah,
Shigeru
sense.
Miyamoto is getting a Academy Fellowship as well.
Oh, that's nice.
Hmm.
He needs those.
Yeah.
He needs that validation.
Right, they will. That's all of them.
All right. I want Pete saying out awards all the time. I like his cooing British voice saying Uncharted 2.
Cooing, really?
I don't know. I couldn't think of anything. Cooing. That works, right?
That's like what a baby does. You know, like baby talk, that's cooing.
Oh, I stand by it, then.
Thanks. Dick.
No, Pete is like a giant baby to me. I don't know. I have no basis for that one.
No, you don't.
All right, what the hell is that? Oh, the quiz. Did I already say my favorite tweet of the week?
Yes.
All right.
Yes, you did.
Two worlds. Oh, I'd give it a two. One for each. Okay, here's the quiz, Pete. It's you now. I guess
we call this the Royal British.
The Royal British Davidson Gaming Quiz.
Sure.
All right, here we go. Let's see how he does. Andrew got a three.
I'll tell you all what my answers were as we go.
Yeah. Andrew got a three, Pete. Let's see if you can beat that. All right, first question. In America, a playable demo for Final Fantasy XII was shipped with what game? America is funny.
In America, yeah.
In the Royal English quiz. In America.
That's a great start.
Maybe in England too. I don't know.
I'm trying to think. It would be, I don't know, Star Ocean?
Dragon Quest VIII.
Eight.
Yeah. I got that one.
Yeah.
Barely. You didn't know for like 3 minutes.
Had to think for a minute.
Second one. The demo for Final Fantasy VIII was included with what game?
I know this one. Brave Offensive Musashi.
Correct.
Yeah, yes. He got... I said Tibal number two or something.
Three. What is the name of Square's first game released in 1984?
Oh, fuck. I knew this at one point. When I was a complete Square fanboy in my teen years, I used to know this, but I can't remember anymore. What is it?
It's a hard one. AJ had no idea.
Nope.
No idea.
Death Trap.
I remembered still. Good. You asked us, like, fuck, do I remember?
Four. What was Infinity... What year was Infinity Ward founded?
Speaking to a guy who's never followed the Call of Duty series either. I'm doing terribly here.
Well, he didn't lose this one yet. Calm down.
I'm going to take a guess here. 2002?
Correct.
Damn it.
Yeah.
There we go.
Three.
There we go. All right, question five. The first Call of Duty was released in what year?
The first one. I have no idea. 2001?
Well, since Infinity Ward was founded in 2002, probably not in 2001.
I don't know. I don't know which ones Infinity Ward did and which ones they didn't.
You don't. All right, 2003.
I care a tiny amount about that series, and it was from playing a little bit of Modern Warfare 2 and quite enjoying it, and I know nothing about the rest of it. Go on, move on.
All right, fine. Last one. Bonus question. How many non-Call of Duty games has Infinity Ward developed?
I don't know if they've done any, have they?
None. Correct. Yeah. None. That's a trick question.
Yeah.
All right, Pete tied AJ. Three. You're both equally good. Hooray.
Yes.
Everyone's a winner.
All right, let's go topical. Let's start with Pete this time. Actually, Pete gets to start with all of these. First one. The PS3 will be the best-selling console of March.
Of March?
Yes, this month, essentially.
Yeah, I think that could be plausible. I think the PS3 is going to have a strong year, generally, like last year. I mean, last year was the first sort of really good PS3 year, and I think this year is going to be even better for it. There's some great games that have been coming out, and the buzz around Final Fantasy XIII, I think, as well. A lot of people are saying that the PS3 version is better. And the only hesitation I'd have with that is the problem it had with the clock a while back that everyone seemed to think is a really big problem, although no one's really mentioned it since then. So
yeah, I don't know. I think that's already been forgotten.
Yeah, I think so. So yeah, I think it will.
AJ?
There are reports of hardware shortages in the wake of the God of War 3, like before it came out. I don't know if that's true or not. If it is, that might hurt him, but if not, yeah, but I think between God of War, Heavy Rain, MLB 10, Yakuza 3 for what it's worth, and Final Fantasy 13 is multi-platform but strongly associated with PlayStation, they've got a lot going for them this month, and there really isn't any big Xbox releases.
Yeah.
So, and there's nothing coming out for Wii, so if there's a month they're going to beat everybody, this would be it.
All right, next one, Pete. Kevin Butler of the... You know those commercials. He's the vice president of everything.
I don't know them well, but I've seen a couple of them online.
He should host Sony's E3 press conference.
Yes. Definitely.
go into detail.
Having only seen a couple of the adverts, all I can say is yes, really. But yeah, absolutely.
AJ?
I'll make an attempt to repeat what I said this morning. I think it's an absolutely brilliant idea that I never considered until you brought it up. And it's too good, and Sony's not going to think of that. And instead, what's going to happen is Kazurai is going to come out with a PowerPoint about how good their numbers are, and then Jack Tretton's going to come out and be awkward, and that's going to be the show.
You think they could still show off PlayStation Home? I know it launched and everything, but I think for 5 years now, I was used to the segment where they talked about PlayStation Home.
Oh, well, it's getting a redesign or something, so I'm sure they'll be showing that.
Oh,
yeah.
Sweet. I still think that Kevin Butler will at least show up.
I hope so. He's my favorite.
Pete.
Yes.
Sony has good reason to criticize Natal's lack of buttons.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that's one thing that sort of puts me off Natal a bit, is just certain things that you're used to doing. Even on the Wii, you can do them because you've got buttons there on the Wii, even if you're waving your arms around and things. And if you've got no buttons there at all, I just worry a little bit about how accurate you're going to be able to do things. And I remember watching the original promo video they did when they first announced Natal and seeing the guy sitting there pretending to drive a race car sitting on a beanbag on the floor, and he just looked ridiculous. And I just thought, how is that ever going to work?
I remember he went to a pit stop, and his friends came in, and like, I still don't understand how like Natal is really going to be so good. It's like, oh, that person's holding a soldering gun and a drill. Clearly we know this. Oh, look, he moved his finger, so he must be pushing the imaginary trigger. Yeah, right.
Yeah,
right.
And being able to recognize, like, five people at the same time, I'm skeptical at best about that. I mean, I'm intrigued by it. I'm quite interested in the idea of Natal, so I don't want to slag it off completely, but I am skeptical about how good it's going to be, having seen
AJ.
Past attempts at it with iToy and so on.
Right.
Yeah, as I said before, like, I mean, the thing is, Natal can still be played along with a 360 controller, so like, it's not like there's absolutely no hope for using, you know, buttons.
Yeah, but it's not quite as comfortable to hold like the Xbox controller as it is something that's meant to be held by one hand.
Well, yeah, I mean, in a one-handed application, sure.
one-handed.
Oh, shit. No.
AJ, there's a lot of that one-handed gaming.
No, I don't.
All right, go ahead.
I'm the one with a copy of Dead or Alive.
That's
hey,
right.
You're the one who has Bayonetta, Mike, not me.
Bayonetta is legit. Bayonetta got nines, man.
Oh.
That's hardcore.
Yeah. Anyway, you know, it's all going to come down to what kind of games. If people, like, if someone makes a game for Natal and I'm like, why aren't there buttons for this? Then they failed as a designer using Natal as their, you know, input method. As long as people design correctly for the system, which I don't expect them to for at least a year, if that. Then it won't be a problem, but again, if you want to play Arkanoid with your body, Natal is probably going to be better than the PlayStation Move. If you want to cut hair off of little 3D dudes, then you want a Move, probably. I don't know. We'll see. I have to say, for as high as I was in Natal, the day they announced that they took the processor off the Natal device itself and they're just siphoning off 360, I lost a lot of hope for it, I guess, because, like, you know, the Natal would have been capable of doing things like head tracking, like that Johnny Lee video when he did his Wiimote hack. Like, could you imagine being able to play Halo Reach and be able to move your head and have it track you and, like, shift the perspective? But now, because it has to tap into that processing power, Bungie's not going to sacrifice you know, anything that the 360 is going to give them for their graphics, so you could have head tracking or even throwing a grenade with your hand, which I wouldn't want to do, but if they were going to do it before, they won't now. So that's disappointing to me.
Did you see that DS game that does that head tracking thing?
Yeah, this was like 3D, There It Is or something.
I don't think it's called that,
get that,
but yeah, it looks neat.
It's got like some Japanese name that translates awkwardly that I'm sure will get a different title here.
I always love that.
Yeah.
All right, next, Pete.
Yes.
You are interested in Lord of the Rings, War in the North.
I don't know anything about it at all, so...
It was announced today.
Today.
So. AJ, tell him about it.
It's being made by the guys who made like Champions of Norrath.
All right.
So it's basically going to be that with a Lord of the Rings skin.
So
my guess would be, we don't know, but that's my guess.
That does kind of interest me a little bit because I do enjoy that kind of game, particularly if it's got a good multiplayer component to it. Because I played a lot of the Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance games when they first came out, and I played the whole thing through in local multiplayer with a friend, and it's great fun to do that. My only question is, are games like that still fun to play? Because they were fun however long ago that was, 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Are they still fun? I mean, Diablo 2 still holds up quite well as a game, but, I mean, as a console game, I don't know.
So much of the appeal for those kind of games is the loot whoring. And, like,
yeah.
if you're Aragorn, you're not going to find a better sword than Narsil.
Yeah.
Or, wait, what's it called when it's reforged, Mike?
Anduril.
Thank you.
Glad I knew that.
Yeah. It's like you run around with Anduril and you like drop some epic orange sword. Like, no.
Right. But remember the, I think they were Game Boy Advance Lord of the Rings game that came out with the movies. They were kind of like that, I remember. Sort of Diablo like.
Yeah, I had that. It was quite good. Wasn't great. It was quite good, but
right. I'm sure it was be more than that, but that's essentially what that was.
I mean, my issue with Lord of the Rings games is it always just seems to be trying to really milk that same story and those same characters, and I mean, there's a really rich and diverse world there, and I know they're exploring that in Lord of the Rings Online as well. But I mean,
Lord of the Rings Online like bizarrely takes place like during the movies or not
yeah.
the movies, but you know, during that story. Which, like, annoys me.
But, I mean, you've got this really rich setting there with all this background information that Tolkien put there in the first place, and yet it still ends up being Aragorn's quest all the time. So I kind of wish they'd do something a little bit different with it. And I mean, if they did that, you could then have that loot-hoarding aspect that you're talking about. If you were someone different in the world or there, whether you were an original character or not. But the trouble with that is you then piss off all the Tolkien purists and say, well, he wasn't in the book, so you can't be him.
They need to make like a Farmville clone where you play as that what the hell is that guy's name?
The Proudfoots.
Not the Proud. No.
Proudfeet.
The weird guy. Everyone was mad he wasn't in Fellowship of the Ring. Tom Bombadil.
Oh, Tom Bombadil.
The Tom Bombadilville.
Oh, yes. that would turn into like a Tingle game, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it'd be something like that. Be weird. All right, next, Pete.
Yes.
You don't need any more Sam and Max.
I enjoy Sam and Max, and I enjoyed the Telltale games, but I haven't played all of them yet. So certainly at the moment, I don't need any more Sam and Max. That's not to say I won't in the future, but at the moment, I don't.
AJ,
I'm fine with it. I like the other ones. I have season 2. I haven't played it yet, but I really like the first season. You know, whatever. Let them keep coming. If you want them, get them. If not, it's fine.
See, I never got into the Telltale Sam and Max games, which is weird because I got into some their other games. I like their Homestar games. I like their Monkey Island games, but it's not so much that they're bad. I just can't get into them.
Like I said, you're still not over the fact that it's not the original
voices. I don't know.
Voices.
it's not so much that they're not the original voices, but the voices just aren't that good to me.
They're fine.
I don't know. Especially Sam's. He's very bland and kind of like monotone.
That bugged me for a little while, but I kind of got over it. And the writing in those games is pretty good as well. They're not the most challenging adventures you'll ever play, but they're funny.
Right. Yeah, I still don't really love the whole episodic adventure game. Like, the writing better be good in those because the puzzles, you know, they're usually pretty simple because you know, it's within a 4-hour game. There's not much that's going to be done with them.
Hmm.
All right, last one here. Pete, Pokemon Heart Gold and Soul Silver will combined be the best-selling games of March.
Going by what everyone I know on Twitter is talking about at the moment, yes. Just because everyone is buzzing about it at the moment, and I'm sitting here quite bewildered by the whole thing. But I keep meaning to get back into Pokemon, and I mean this might be as good a time as any, I guess. But yeah, it's definitely going to sell incredibly well, I think. It's Pokemon has always been a big system seller for Nintendo, so I think this is going to be a big one for them.
AJ,
yeah, to repeat myself, the you look at God of War 3 on the PS3, which is, the PS3's install base, it's an M-rated game, it'll sell well, but to that audience, Pokemon is Pokemon on the DS, which has a ginormous install base, and there's two of them, so yeah, I'm fairly confident that that's going to way outsell it.
Do you expect God of War to outsell Final Fantasy? I would.
Just on PS3 or overall?
Well, overall it might be different just because, Final Fantasy will have the advantage of being on both systems, I guess.
Yeah,
it's hard to say. Maybe I do expect it though to do better, at least on just a PS3, just because.
By the time Final Fantasy 13 gets good, you could have beaten God of War 3.
Oh, shut up!
Maybe twice.
Oh, shut up! That brings us to our next segment, Our Week in Gaming, also known as "Fuck You, AJ."
AJ.
I was gonna say "Adj Guy," then I changed it to AJ.
I know.
I felt like I'm not. No, he doesn't get the nickname.
It's like when your mother calls you by your full name. I know when I'm in trouble and Michael calls me AJ.
Play the music. Shut up.
Did you want to introduce the segment?
No, I don't. Just play the music. Let it keep playing.
I am already.
Give me a second.
Not that long.
Okay. This is Mike's Adventures in Final Fantasy with friends. Well, we know how I think. Well, last week I very much enjoyed Final Fantasy 13. AJ was poo-pooing it like a stupid poophead.
I still said I liked it.
Yeah, but you were like, you were beyond nitpicky with things. Their fingers look bad.
They do.
Oh my god. Pete, what do you think about Final Fantasy 13?
I agree their fingers look bad, but I think it's
thanks.
A great
shut
game.
Shut up! Thank you.
Shut up, thank you. You don't know what to do with that, do you? No, I'm really enjoying it, and after all the bad press it's got from people who clearly haven't played it enough, I'm really loving it, and the combat system is great fun. And I was talking to Jeff Parsons the other day, and he pointed out that it's actually quite good that they introduce things a little bit at a time for you, because you get time to get comfortable with each aspect of the combat system, and by the time you got that full party and you're shifting paradigms all over the place, you realize there's a lot of depth to it that isn't immediately apparent to begin with. Mm-hmm. So it would be quite friendly to someone who's new to the series, but also there's enough depth in there for people who have been playing RPGs for ages to get on with it. I enjoyed the story. I think the graphics are great. I like the characters as well. There's no characters that I particularly dislike in there, and I know there's people out there who don't like Vanille very much.
There are Vanille haters, yes.
Yeah. But personally speaking, there are no characters in that cast that I don't like. And I like the way they interact with each other. I think the banter and the dialogue between them is quite well done. I mean, there's the odd sort of melodramatic emo moment, but it's Final Fantasy, so you expect that kind of thing. But and the music's great. Love the music.
Da 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 da. Yeah.
Anyone else find it weird that it doesn't do the da 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 da?
Not really. They've been shying away from that for a while now. It was barely in 12.
No, since they dropped Umatsu, they haven't really done that. Like 10-2 didn't have it. Did 12 have it at all?
12 did it sometimes during like certain boss battles, after every fight. But it's not a Umatsu kind of score, but it's still good.
No.
The only reoccurring track I heard was the Chocobo theme at one point.
Mm.
Usually, there's four things you might hear. You'll hear the Chocobo theme. You'll hear the Final Fantasy theme. Sometimes, da 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 da. The opening prelude theme, the one we played before the segment, and the victory theme, which is not there.
Yeah.
How far are you, Pete? Like hour wise?
I am I can't remember how many hours I'm in. I'm on chapter 7, I think, at the moment.
Is there something you can tell me that would help me know where you are?
I'm trying to...
Careful now.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if I can say that without spoilers. I haven't got a full party yet.
Okay, that's good enough.
Yeah, but I'm at a stage where characters up to level 2 in their various roles.
Okay.
Is any help?
Yeah, you're kind of far enough.
Wait, chapter 7 and they just hit level 2?
No, not yeah, there aren't any. They don't have levels, AJ. Level 2 of the pair.
Yeah, it's not a character level.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. Still.
Well, I'm 30 hours into the game and they're still on level 4. There's a lot to go through. But I'm like 31 or 32 hours into it. I'm pretty sure I'm getting near the end. So, you know, and I've still enjoyed it. I will say that all RPGs, they kind of have that part where they kind of reach the sort of an emotional climax too soon before the story really begins to kind of close up, and all of a sudden you're in these sort of long dungeons, and you're kind of like, okay, I'm ready, let's do this thing, but sort of drags out a little bit, which has always kind of been a problem with these games, but I'm getting close to the ending, I'm sure. I had one cinematic that was just really cool. I'm sure everyone will know what I'm talking about if they beat the game. It was I like to call it the Power Rangers cinematic. So you'll know what I'm talking about when you see it. But I've still been enjoying it a lot, been having a lot of fun with it. You know, just my biggest fear going into it was that I liked 12 a lot, and a lot of people were down on 12. So I was terrified that Final Fantasy 13 was going to be too safe. And it's not safe at all. Even if you don't like the game, you have to at least agree with that it's definitely not a safe game. There's a lot of risk there. And I'll also say, as much as people complain about the linearity, the point where it kind of opened up, finally, and it does open up a little bit, you almost begin to kind of miss that simpler go from here to there structure.
Hmm.
But, yeah, like I said, I've been enjoying it a lot. How about you, AJ? Anything you want to say about Final Fantasy 13?
No, I'm good. I haven't played it since last week.
Yeah, that's nice. But I got Pokemons. Pokemans.
Me too.
Yeah, I got Soul Silver, you got Heart Gold.
Hey, Mike, what do you like to play?
Pokemon. Wonder who got that. Anyways, you know, it's weird though. I should not still like playing this game. I really should be sick of this.
Yes, you would think.
You know?
there are things that I thought were wrong with this game from the first one in 1996 that are still there.
But I still deal with them.
Like, I wonder when they're going to realize, wait a minute, the DS is about as powerful as Nintendo 64, and we had fully 3D battles in that. Maybe we should, put that in.
The thing that bothers me still is, in the early parts of the game, you can't really get a good team going just because you keep running into these normal-type Pokemon, and it's just nothing exciting.
And you know they're just a waste of time to have with you.
Right, you don't want to bother leveling them up.
But you have to level up a little bit because you might need them.
Right, then everybody will find the one electric sheep type Pokemon. And since it's like the one that's like, oh my god, this is an actual type, everyone will have that one.
Yeah.
But, no, I've been enjoying it a lot. I've been using the Pokewalker, which is really cool.
Yeah, I had that too. Although, it's disappointing. Like, I thought it was like every step is an experience.
Well, think about that.
I guess it is, but it doesn't let you get more than one level at a time per walk.
Right, so that'd be a lot of experience points. I mean, it'll be good if you have like a level 70 something person, I guess. But
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it would kind of break the game a little bit.
Like I said, it's not like the game isn't broken with the online
training. Well, see, I could avoid that if you want to. I don't know.
Yeah,
but it's neat though. You know, it doesn't cost anything. It came with the game. It's kind of fun too when you transport your Pokemon. You kind of push that button. It's very satisfying.
As a standalone accessory, no thank you. As a pack-in, sure.
Well, it's nice because, you can do things besides just walk around. You can actually...
Yeah, you can actually catch Pokemon.
You can actually catch Pokemon. There's actually something to it. Like, you only have 3 buttons, but you can still kind of do things.
You can attack and evade.
It's more intense than I thought it would be.
Yes.
So that's been fun. That's it for me. Do you play anything else, AJ?
Oh, I got a ton of stuff to talk about. Great. Let's see. Well, first of all, Pete, you and I were playing the Blur beta earlier in the week.
Oh,
and that game
so
is
good.
Awesome.
I play a little bit of it. I don't think I like it quite as much as you two do.
Oh, my God. It's so good. I can't wait for this to come out now. Like, I had kind of an academic interest in it because, I mean, basically, this is what the game is. Take, like, Project Gotham, put Mario Kart weapons into it, keep the licensed cars, and then put, like, Modern Warfare's leveling up and perks and challenges. And that's and play it with 20 people.
My
it's
one problem
awesome.
Is,
yeah,
it's cool, but you can't. I wish that the power ups were a little bit more, more telling of what they actually did just by those pictures.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. Sometimes they don't really know what anything does.
Well, it's the same problem that Wipeout's got. You have to kind of learn what the icons mean, and once you learn what the icons mean, I mean they're all color coded as well, so you can identify it from the color. It'd be interesting to see with the full version. Because there's supposed to be a lot more power-ups in the full version as well. So,
oh, really? There's more?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, apparently.
Yay.
So it'll be interesting to see how easy it is to cope with that if there's more different types of power-ups going on as well.
But I like that, unlike Mario Kart, you can have three with you, and you see them visually like on your bumper. So you can scroll through them with the X button, you could drop them with Y. So you'll get like these really tense moments where you realize you're low on health, you see a repair coming up, you're trying to decide on the fly which power-up do you want to drop, you switch to it, get the repair, use it, all while still racing. And I got strangely good at it, and so it was really satisfying to be able to pull that kind of stuff off. And my favorite weapon in the game is the, I forget the official name of it, the lightning thing.
Yes.
And what this does is it drops these three pillars of lightning in front of whoever's in first place, and it's... I like having it used against me, actually, because they tweaked it just right. So it drops just far enough ahead of you that it catches you off guard, but if you're really paying attention, you just all of a sudden start weaving through these pillars of lightning. When you pull it off, it's really satisfying.
Mm.
And the thing that, like, I mean, the game looks good, but what really sells it is this game has some of the best sound design I've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
Like, everything just feels satisfying, and it feels powerful and big, and like you see these lightning pillars coming down, and it just has this boom, boom, boom. Oh, it's so good. I love it so much.
Well, the sound as well, there's things like when you're driving on sort of off-road stuff, you can hear like the dirt rattling and clattering against the bottom of your car, and just little things like if you're playing in first-person view, like when you go over a jump, the head-up display actually wobbles around and judders as if it's sort of like
I gotta try it in first person. I've been afraid to.
Yeah, but so if you imagine that like the head up display was, I don't know, like projected on the inside of your driving helmet or something like that, it would be like that if your head was bobbing around as you were jumping over things. So it wobbles around and it gives it a real sort of sense of impact when you crash into things or things hit you.
But yeah, like as a beta, this is pretty damn polished. So good on them.
I'm not quite as impressed as you two, but whatever.
I guess not.
I mean, you know, it's fun. It's a racing game.
Once you unlock some of the other stuff as well, like the other cars, and there is a mode that's just Mario Kart Battle Mode as well, which is
also very fun.
Yeah, balloons.
So, but it's good.
So okay. Let's see. Obviously, we got God of War 3.
That's right.
This has got to be the easiest game in the world to review. Here, if I had to write a review of God of War 3, it would say this. If you played God of War 2, figure out what you would have given that out of 10. Now add 1 to that.
But what if you were Jim Sterling of Bitmob? I mean, not of Bitmob, of Destructoid. I always say of Bitmob.
Then you only kind of hate this game.
What?
I mean, here's the thing. The design document for this game is not difficult. Have, like, a decent combo system and just make everything really big. Like, that's what it is, and that's fine. It works. Like, it's really exciting when you see, like, this giant 10-story-tall titan climbing a mountain next to you. That's cool, you know? Like, it's not that complicated. It's if you like God of War, you're going to like this game. It's really good. I like, you know, it looks great. I like the combat in this game. See, here's what I figured out, part of why I like this better than something like, say, Bayonetta. Bayonetta and, like, Devil May Cry and all the Japanese games, they have very defined combos. Like, you know, X, 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 Y to do this, and that's it. And God of War has that, but also, I don't know, God of War's combo system feels more organic to me. Like, I don't have to be doing specific combos. I could kind of get a sense of what to do and how to do it to accomplish what I want. Does that make sense?
No.
I kind of feel that way about Bayonetta, actually, because Bayonetta does have combos that you can learn, but I always felt that you could get away with button mashing a bit more, certainly on normal difficulty, not on hard,
right.
Maybe, but no, I always felt that Bayonetta's combat felt very natural, so...
Yeah,
I've never played a God of War game, so I can't really compare it to that, but...
Right.
That's how Bayonetta felt to me, as someone who doesn't generally play a lot of that sort of game.
I know what you're saying, AJ, but I don't understand how that doesn't apply to Bayonetta, I guess.
For me, it just didn't. Whatever. I don't know. It might just be a personal taste thing, which is fine.
Maybe you don't like girls.
Yeah.
that's your personal taste thing.
Yeah, get back in the kitchen and cook me dinner.
No, that's not what I was insinuating.
He's insinuating you like the PSP Go, if you know what I mean.
Thanks.
OMG, I like PSP.
Let's see, anything else to say about God of War 3? Not really. It's good. I like it. Oh, God. What else did I get this week? I feel like there's something... I just got one advantage of us pushing the show back, because I got a chance to play some online Battlefield Bad Company 2. It's Battlefield.
That's good.
Yeah, it's actually really good. I liked it. I found I like playing the engineer.
I need to get that Just Cause 2 demo.
I have it. I haven't gotten to play it yet.
It's good. A friend showed it to me last night. It's really good fun.
It's weird because I had no interest in Just Cause 1 or ever played it or anything, but I'm kind of into the stuff I've been seeing for Just Cause 2.
Right. Speaking of demos, I did play the recently released Splinter Cell Conviction demo. And, yeah, that's going
to
be sweet.
Yeah, I had to play that one, too.
It's really good. I like the... What's really cool is, like, the way they've done the moving from cover point to cover point, especially if guys have found you. What it does is you'll see this kind of shadow of yourself, and that's, like, where the enemy thinks you are. So you can kind of flank them with yourself, if that makes any sense. So that part's really cool. The whole marking and executing system, I think, works really well. I like that a lot. I don't think it makes the game too easy, because what you have to do is you have to kill someone by hand before you get a use of the mark and execute. So if you got a bunch of guys in a room, you have to figure out who you can take out yourself unseen by sneaking up to them, and then you can clear out the rest of the room with a mark and execute. You know, it looks good. That whole thing where they project stuff onto the walls is really cool. I like that a lot. And they also, like, it's weird, they got rid of, there's no night vision. Instead, you have this, like, sonar sensor. So it's kind of the same, but not. Which is funny, because I always associated the night vision goggles so much with Splinter Cell. What else to say about it? Yeah, I mean, there's, like, one thing that was, like, a little, it was okay, but not as good as I think they were making out to be, is, you know, they had, like, the interactive interrogations. It's not, like, all that groundbreaking. You're just going up to hot points and pushing B, and if there isn't a hot point by you, you just punch the guy. But still, it's fun. It, you know, there's something satisfying about shoving a guy's head through a urinal.
Right.
Yeah, you know, of course. God, I feel like there's one more thing I might have played, but I think that's it. If I think of it, I'll let you know.
All right, Pete, anything else?
I just want to mention Perfect Dark.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. How is it?
Oh, it's good. Well... It's good if you played and enjoyed.
You.
Yeah, it's good if you played and enjoyed the N64 version.
What if you hated the 64 version with every fiber of your being?
If you hated the N64 version, you're going to hate this as well, because it's the same. Just
well,
higher
I'm willing to give this a shot, because I think I've discussed this before, but the N64 version of this game is the only game ever to make me motion sick.
A lot of people have said that, actually. I had a friend who was like that as well. He just couldn't play it.
Well, it was a combination of, because remember, this was a game that used that 4-meg expansion pack. Mm. And if you had the game without the expansion pack, it was so low-res and blurry that it just looked like a mash of colors on the screen to me. Mm. And with the high-res mode turned on, the frame rate was, like, unplayable. And then you got that, like, fish-eyed remote bot thing, and I just, like, wanted to vomit.
Chris actually got this, and I watched him play it. At least it does
look...
Yeah, I
saw him playing
it online. The graphical update to it is impressive, really.
Mm-hmm.
They've done surprisingly little to it, and it looks surprisingly good. Because, I mean, I don't know how much of the N64 version you played, but it wasn't a bad looking game, and I actually don't remember the frame rate issues being quite as bad as you mentioned. I mean, it was an N64 game, so there was always going to be a few issues with blurriness and so on. But the thing with Perfect Dark is, if you didn't play with that expansion pack, you couldn't play half the game. Like, you couldn't play the single player game at all if you didn't have the expansion pack. But yeah, I remember playing it through and enjoying it and being quite impressed with some of the graphics in it at the time. And pretty much all they've done from the look of things is they've up-resed everything to HD and made it run at a smoother frame rate. So like they haven't bothered to do things like animate the characters' mouths or anything like that. So
no.
They're still.
I saw 1UP had actually a really good comparison video of the original 64 version and the Xbox Live version.
Mm.
It does look like they reworked a lot of textures. Did better things with lighting and things like that.
The character models seem to have better textures on them, particularly on the faces, because they seem to be quite detailed now. I mean, like I said, they don't animate or anything, but they look like quite sharp digital images on there. The thing I've been most impressed with it though is that how fun the multiplayer still is. Like last night, we played a local multiplayer session of it, three players and putting a few bots in as well, and it's still just as fun as it always was.
I also like how they put some GoldenEye maps and weapons in there, which is a great way of kind of releasing GoldenEye without releasing GoldenEye.
Yeah.
What's the one GoldenEye map? The famous
facility.
Library or stacks or...
Facility people always like.
That's the one, facility.
What's the one that looks like a pyramid?
Temple, I think.
Temple. I liked Temple. Mm. That's what I liked.
Yeah. But it's I find it interesting to play because it's easy to forget just how different Rare's first-person shooters were from other first-person shooters, with the emphasis on stealth and that sort of thing. And mm-hmm. It was one early games to have lots of different objectives in there besides just killing everything and getting from A to B. It's still an interesting game to play, and I still think it stands up really well in terms of gameplay. So I've been very impressed with that. And it's only 800 points as well for a pretty big game as well. There's a lot to do.
When's Perfect Dark Zero 2 coming out?
Never.
I'm sorry. You still didn't sell me, Pete. I'm sorry. I don't know why even, but I just hated that game. I don't know why.
Yeah, it seems to really split opinion. Even on its first release, it seemed to really split
opinion. It did, yeah. People loved it or hated it. I hated it.
Yeah, and I kind of don't understand why.
Well, for me, it came out pretty close to like Half-Life 1, right? And to me, when I looked at Half-Life 1, I looked at Perfect Dark, I didn't see the appeal, I don't know.
Yeah, see, to me, like, Rare's first-person shooters of that era were, like, impressive to people who never played a PC game. Mm.
Like, GoldenEye
like,
was okay, because when GoldenEye
like,
came
Quake
out,
and then...
Yeah, GoldenEye, you still had Quake and stuff, which, you know, even still, but yeah. Once Perfect Dark came out, I thought, like, we had kind of gotten beyond where that was. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I can also, you know... I didn't even play that much Perfect Dark, really. We rented it, I tried it, and I didn't like it. I was like 11, so...
Right.
I didn't feel any sort of journalistic integrity to finish it. I'll never forget my one friend. He always yells at me because I always say that Prince of Persia 2, The War Within is stupid. He yells at me because he says my opinion's not valid because I didn't play more than the demo. I don't need to play that much of that to know it's stupid.
I want to buy this goddamn piece of shit.
Do they have any more shitty games back there? I love buying shitty games.
Nice. Apart from that, I've been playing Final Fantasy 13 and Heavy Rain. That's about it.
Heavy Rain.
Heavy Rain.
Did you see Press X to Jason?
Yes. and the companion real life Heavy Rain video.
Yes.
Yes.
You see those, AJ?
No.
I put those on Bitmob the other day.
They're
pretty funny, actually. Press X. What I love about the Press X of Jason is it has achievements, and one of them is to save Jason, which I'm pretty sure you can't do. I have a friend who has Heavy Rain. I've told him that we're going to trade each other Final Fantasy. I'll give him my Final Fantasy. He'll give me Heavy Rain after I'm done.
There you go.
Yeah,
have you not played it yet, then?
No, I haven't. It's just been, and I mean, I've been playing games nonstop. I've been doing very little else of my free time but playing video games lately.
Yeah, I'm getting like a backlog from the last 2 months. It's kind of bad.
And
I still have to finish Mass Effect. Then I need to play BioShock. Then I need to play Final Fantasy 13.
I'm much further than you because I've beaten BioShock. I beat Mass Effect. But yeah, I had to do Heavy Rain. Then I had to do God of War. Still,
yeah,
it's crazy.
It's bad.
It's
too much.
I like it. I'm still pleased. I mean, next month nothing's
like
coming
said,
out, right?
I'm actually kind of craving the summer lull now. I'm gonna need it.
Right.
Well, next month will be Blur.
Well, not
sure.
No summer lull because actually Nintendo lull people has a lot of games coming out in the summer.
Yeah, that's true. Fuck.
But like the April lull, I don't know.
All right. Anybody else have anything they play they want to talk about before we move on to the releases?
I think that's going to do it.
All right. This was much better than the first time, wasn't it, AJ?
I think so.
Yeah. All right, keep going. Let's.
All right.
Wait a second. Did I already do my tweet of the month segment?
Yes.
Yes, okay. You did.
It's just once a month, everybody. You heard him say it.
I give it a two.
Because there's two worlds. Yes, very
one,
good.
One for each world.
You done?
I'm just waiting for you, man. I'm just trying to fill in this dead air space.
Oh, good lord. Okay, WiiWare. We have Rage of the Gladiator, which is some sort of, I guess, Punch-Out!-esque game.
I heard about that.
That actually uses Wii Motion Plus, which, strangely, not a lot of games do.
No, not really.
Then we have Triple Shot Sports, whatever that is. Virtual Console got Castlevania, Rondo of Blood, which was re-released on the PSP recently as Castlevania Bloodlines, well, recently being like a year and a half ago. DSiWare has Zoo Frenzy, 101 Mini Golf World, Battle of Giants, Dinosaurs, Fight for Survival,
and
Carjack Streets.
We don't have enough dinosaur games. We really don't.
Yeah, that's true. Xbox Live Arcade got Perfect Dark. PS3 has Groovin' Blocks, and you can now pre-order Sam & Max Devil's Playhouse and save $5. Let's see. PSP has Patchwork Heroes and the Red Star, two PS1 games, One and Jigsaw Madness, PSP Mini, Break Quest, and goodoldgames.com got Empire Earth 2 Gold Edition and Another World 15th Anniversary Edition, which is pretty cool.
You know what I'd give another world?
What?
You know what I'd give another world?
What?
A two. One for each world.
Oh, God.
What are you waiting for? Keep going.
That's it. I'm done.
Oh, okay.
I'm waiting for you.
Oh, man. Here's the retail releases. We had God of War 3 for the PS3. Dragon Age Origins Awakening for PC and 360. I can't really care about that. I'm sorry. As much as I like Dragon Age Origins, I'm done. I want Dragon Age 2, the not-so-ugly-looking one.
Yeah, I didn't even realize. I knew this was coming out eventually, but I didn't realize it was coming out already.
Yeah,
I really want it. So
see, I kind of doubt how extensive of an expansion this is for coming out so soon. But there it is: Command and Conquer 4: Tiberian Twilight for the PC, Metro 2033 for PC, whatever that is. Pokemon Heart Gold, Pokemon Soul Silver. Metro 2033 also came out on the 360. How about that? Residents of Fate for the PS3 and 360. Perfect Dark, you gotta talk about it. Fragile Dreams, Feral Ruins of the Moon for the Wii. I have a friend who's playing this. Jasmine of Bitmob, she seems to be liking it. Infinite Space for the DS.
Tycho was like really high on this game. I don't know.
GameSpot says it's a 6.5.
I watched the trailer for it. I was like, eh.
Supreme Commander 2 for 360, and that's it.
All right.
So what are we doing next week? Because PAX is
okay,
next
so here's, Thursday. Here's the, yeah, next week is PAX.
We're going.
I think what I'd like to do, and this is to all squaddies who will be at PAX, I'm going to have an H4 Zoom recorder with me, and probably just Saturday night, if we can all get together, we'll record a PAX show. Probably won't be strictly formatted to the usual EVP standards, but it'll be the first time where we will do a Squadron of Shame podcast recording with the squad all together.
Well, they did that kind of once, but we weren't there. Right?
They weren't with each other. They were still on Skype and stuff.
No, that's not true.
We'll all be
Pete, back me up on this. You guys did a show once and you were all mostly together, right?
No.
We took photos, but we didn't record anything.
Yeah, they didn't record anything.
Why did I think they did? Okay, then.
Yeah,
first of its time, then.
It's going to be rocking. We'll have PAX impressions and all kinds of madness.
Yes.
So that means that show will probably go up either very late Saturday night or maybe Sunday morning. So next week's show will be late because of PAX, but there will be a show.
All right, then.
We should mention, too, if you're going to PAX, you can hit up the Squadron of Shame Twitter account with a direct message if you would like to order a Squadron of Shame shirt. I believe they're going to be $20. Is that right, Pete?
Yeah, like $20. Between 20 and 25. So.
Yeah, so if you want to order a shirt, just send that direct message and we'll have shirts for you at PAX.
They look pretty swanky, I gotta say. But, yep, we will be at PAX. There's gonna be a BitMod meetup that I know we're gonna attend. Pete, you're going to that, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Sweet. Yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be a good time at PAX.
Yeah, that's going to be Friday night. I think it starts at 6. It's at a bar called The Poor House right by the convention center.
Nice. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. You can find more of us at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com or at squadronshame.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/explodingbarrel. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast. One for each world.